Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
So this message, I believe, is given to us today that tells us no matter what the situation we're in, no matter what the condition we find ourselves in, there is hope in Christ Jesus. There is hope as we reach out from a place of bondage to find the answer. You don't have to live in the mully grubs. You don't have to live depressed. You don't have to live in a position where you wake up every morning and it looks like your day is already started because you figured out the fact that the devil's going to beat you today just like he did yesterday. We need to wake up in the morning with a spirit of victory and relieve the bondage that Satan would have us in. So no matter what our situation is, there's hope that reaches out from your place of bondage. You don't have to try to get free yourself before you reach out to the one who can set you free. Many times we put forth the effort to help ourselves before we call out to the Lord who can help us and will help us and bring us out of bondage. We find victory in Christ Jesus that no bars can hold, no bars of bone, no bars of steel. Paul and Timothy were in jail. They were in bondage. Now, you have to understand that a prison back then was a lot different than it is now. It was a dungeon-type cave that people were put into, and they were chained to the wall. They didn't see daylight. They didn't see anything. It was being in a cave and chained to a wall. And that's what bondage was at this particular time. But the Holy Spirit gave Paul these words in this bondage to let us know today that there is a freedom that we can have no matter how hard the bondage may be, no matter what the situation may be. There are a lot of people today that are praying and believing God for the survivors and the mothers and the fathers and grandfolks that are of the children that were lost in the flood in Texas. And I'm sure that there are many of them that have a sincere prayer that God's going to help them and deliver them from the bondage they are in. And I'm sure there are many who may not know the Lord in that respect, who are going to be in bondage for a long, long time because they don't know how to find freedom from that kind of bondage. That's not to say that there's not mourning and there's not feelings and there's the feelings of loss. But in the process of that, we have to find the victory that God gives us. We've had to do that in many occasions. A few of us in this congregation have lost loved ones. And we grieve and we mourn and we long for them and we long to see them again and we live with that hope. But we can't stay in bondage with that. We have to walk in victory. And he gives us that victory. He gives it to all of us if we will follow him. Because this world is an evil place today. If you're not a believer in Christ, you're suffering a lot of evil from the kingdom of darkness. I remember years ago, a preacher that we knew, in fact, the one that I think married me and Dini, were in a conversation with him one afternoon, and a situation had come up where, you know, you get frustrated sometimes with people. I know none of you have ever been frustrated with people because you're sitting there looking at me like I'm the only one that ever did. But the preacher's advice was very simple. Remember, you're a Christian first. Oh, before you open your mouth, in frustration, remember you're a Christian first. Because if you don't remember you're a Christian first, you're going to say something to somebody to help them stay in bondage. And you're going to be in bondage yourself to what you've said. So remember that. Listen, Paul said in verse 20, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's a strange thing for a person to say. How is Christ magnified in our bodies when we're dead? I think he was talking about our legacy. Christ can still be magnified even though we're gone by the life that we lived. What people are seeing us and think about us and talk about us when we're gone. Now, everybody leaves a legacy. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it may be, you're going to leave a legacy behind and people are going to talk about you when you're gone. But Paul said, if I'm relieved of this bondage, then in my life I'm going to glorify God, but when I'm gone, my life will still glorify God. Well, listen, this is a couple of thousand years after Paul wrote this, and we're still talking about it. So evidently he left something for us to talk about today that is good and great. And Paul said, I'm leaving this world, but I'm going to leave the world something. Because you see, people worry about what they're going to do at death. But listen, it doesn't matter what you take with you. It's what you leave behind that's going to count. Because we ain't taking anything with you. The Bible says you came into this world with nothing and you're leaving this world that way. So, but what did you leave behind while you were here? Are people gonna say about you, well, he's dead or she's dead, I'm glad they're gone. And then begin to say all the things, remembering the things that you did or said bad. Or will people say, well, she left a good legacy. They were a good person. They worshiped God. They pleased God. They had faith in God. That's what Paul's saying. I'm going to glorify God whether I'm here or whether I'm gone, in my body, in my life, or in death. In other words, whatever the Lord wants of us is what I and you should want to do. God's will. God's will be done. It's in the scriptures. It's in the prayer that we pray. The model prayer given to us contains the word God's will. Not our will, but God's will. And here is where we totally sell out to God. When we say God's will, then we put our will on the shelf and we say, God, let your will be done. And in fact, he tells us how to do that. He said, say not that tomorrow I'm going to do this, that, or the other. But he said, say if it's God's will, I'm going to do this, that, or the other. If it's God's will in our lives, if he will allow it in his will, then we can do it. But there are many times when we do it regardless of whether it's in God's will or not, because it's in our will. And then we get caught doing something we shouldn't have done. And we blame God for not answering our prayer. But he said, for me to live is Christ. Now that's a strange statement, since he was a human being just like you and I. But he said, for me to live is Christ. Why? Because Christ lived in him. Christ lives in us. For us to live should be Christ. The world should see Christ in us. Our testimony should be Christ. Our speech should be Jesus Christ and him crucified. Our prayers, our worship, our praise, is in Christ. Whatever the Lord wants, let it be done in Christ. And that is, if I stay, I have longer to serve the Lord. In Christ, God's will. If I stay here, I have longer to witness. I have longer to preach. I have longer to pray and pray my family in to salvation. I have longer to express the love of Christ. That's what he expects of us. I have longer to defeat the devil, and I have longer to walk in victory, not in bondage. That's what Paul was talking about. If I stay here, I have more time to do all of these things. But I want to go to heaven. I want to go to be with Jesus. So he said, I'm torn between the two. But yet he realized the better of the two was to be with Jesus. To be in heaven with him. Now we are basically in the same situation Paul was in. If we are a Christian today, we should understand that it would be better for us to be in glory, than to be here in this troubled world. So we desire to be in heaven with him. But we must understand that while we're here, God wants us to do his will, bound by his word, to show forth the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have longer to lift him up to a lost and dying world. But he said, for me to die is gain. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has prepared for them that love him. So for us to leave this world is certainly going to be a gain for us. So we have loved ones that we want to pray for. We want to preach the gospel. We want to sing and praise and worship and work and follow him while we're here. Give us souls for our labor, Lord, while we're here. That's what Paul was saying. I've still got some preaching to do. I've still got soul winning to do. And I want to do that, Lord. But I'm torn between doing that and going to heaven. Because heaven is gain. That means I leave all of my troubles behind. I leave all my sorrows behind. Paul said it. Because it would be gain for Paul or anyone else who is saved to die because they go to heaven. But it would not be gained for the work of God. So we are torn between the two, as Paul said. Our life must be as a testimony when we're gone. It must be a testimony of Jesus Christ to the world, even after we are gone. Because that's what we're going to leave behind. Our last will and testament should be one that lifts up Jesus Christ. Because that's all you're leaving here. You're not taking anything to glory with you. You're leaving everything else here. All that you've toiled and worked for and gained and lost and gained and lost and gained and lost. All of it is left here. And your people that you leave all of this for now have the same problem you had. They're going to struggle to gain and lose and gain and lose and gain and lose. So the only thing that matters is what you've left behind here in Christ. Paul said it's what we have here, our testimony after we're gone. And then when we get to the other world, you see, we live in one now, that is totally different from the one to come. We didn't live in a world past. We know about it because we read about it, we study about it, the history of it, the biblical history of it, but we didn't live then. We live now. So this is our world and this earth. But there's another world that the Bible talks about. Paul expressed it himself. Paul did, he found himself in a situation where he would rather be with God, but he knew he had to be here for a while longer. Paul expressed it then. So we find ourselves in a strait also, between being here with our loved ones, enjoying life with them, enjoying times of worship and praise as a Christian. But we also find ourselves in times of bondage. We find ourselves in times of loss, hurt, and pain. And there are times when we say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and deliver us from this." And there are times when we wish we would be in heaven today instead of being here fighting these battles. So this world and that world are totally different. There's no comparison in the Word of God to this world and that world. The only thing, the comparison we have is for us to work for the kingdom of God, amen, that's yet to come into our lives. So, a desire to be with Christ. You see, we are a spirit person and we are in a body, suspended between two worlds. Our bodies are here, but our spirit is in glory. He said it in His Word here. We are already seated in heavenly places. How can that be when we're still here? He's talking about our spirit and our soul and our desire to be with Him. If we are faithful to the Lord and we endure to the end, He says we already have a place in heaven, seated in heavenly places. That's where our soul and spirit is going. This body is going to the ground, to dust, to ashes, whatever it takes. But it's not going to heaven. But our spirit and our soul, by the way, which is the image and the likeness of God, because we don't look like God and we're not made in His image physically. But when He says that man was made in His likeness and His image, He was telling us that the likeness and the image that we have with God is eternal life in our soul and spirit. Eternal life. That's how we're created. Man is created to live forever somewhere. The choice of where you're going to live forever is a choice each person has to make. In heaven or in hell, where will it be? That's the choice we make. But we're going to live forever somewhere. Recognizing that, Paul said, "I'm torn between wanting to stay here and do the will of God and going on to heaven and live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ." Suspended here in body and there in spirit. Torn between the two. A desire to be with Christ, as Paul said, and a desire to stay and continue the work of God as a faithful servant. As it was with the apostle, that dilemma is settled by God. He said this, Paul's work was determined by God to be finished when God decided to take him home. His last will and testament gives us an idea of his legacy. He wrote and said that my time here, and I'll ad-lib a little bit, my time here is finished. But I fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith. Wow, what a legacy. I fought the good fight of faith. I've kept the faith. I've worked. I've done the will of God to the best of my ability as the Lord called me and the Holy Spirit led me. But now he said, it's time for me to go. And he said, I know this, that there's a crown of righteousness laid up in heaven for me. But he wasn't selfish in his statement. He said, and to all those who are saved, all those who are seeking heaven, all those who are being faithful, all those who are fighting the good fight of faith, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for them. So you've got something to look forward to. You're going to wear a crown of righteousness. And then one day you're going to lay it at the foot of Jesus, the one who allowed you to work and gain this crown of righteousness. But now, the desire of our heart lies in the will of the Father. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And he does to everyone. If you want to serve God, if you have the desire to serve God, then he will give you that will to serve him. That's in his will. But if you desire not to serve God, if your decision is to reject Jesus Christ, he will allow his will to give you that also. Because he has created within us a free will to make the choice. He could have created all of us puppets. There are beasts, as the Bible describes them, not as we think a beast is. Christian brings it out that they are around the throne of God, praising and worshiping him constantly, day and night, if there is any. And there's none in heaven, but as we know it, they are worshiping God continually. God created them to do that. He could have created us to be a puppet that he wanted to maneuver. But instead, he gave man a free will. And in exercising that free will, Paul says, I'm torn between the two. I know it's better in heaven, and I know it's bad here on earth, but I'm winning souls, I'm working, I'm building churches, I'm fighting the good fight of faith, I fight the enemy every day, and I know that I have to do that here. So we have to have that same mindset. While we're here, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Understanding that the Bible says only those who endure to the end shall be saved. So there's a lot of people that name the name of Jesus in lip service only. But they don't endure. They don't fight the good fight of faith. They just use the name of Jesus. And it's all lip service. And it's all about them. And it's all about what I. But aside from that, there are those who are fighting and enduring. And that endurance is what God wants in our lives as we battle and fight the enemy every day. Because we have to accept that and expect that. The devil's going to attack us in many, many different ways. He looks for the weakness in every individual, and then he works on that weakness, gives you desire to have what you want in that weakness, and you're kept in bondage. When you're in bondage, you can't walk in victory. You can talk about it. You can sing about it. You can say what you want to say. But there's no victory for you. So the devil continues to win spiritual battles. And so when we get to the point where we say, not my will, but thine be done, now it becomes a matter of the heart. A matter of the heart. We are in a physical world in our bodies. That's a reality. We can look around and see each other and we know we're in a physical body this morning. That's a reality. And we are in a spiritual world in our spirit. Yes. Seated in heaven, and that's a realm of reality of faith. How are we seated in heaven already when we're here in this earth? Only by faith. Only by believing what God's word says, and only by doing what God tells us we must do in order to reach that other world. Only by faith. Or we could come up with 1,000 reasons why we would want to stay in this world. Some of them would be good reasons. You don't want to leave your family and your friends, people you love, the things that are precious to you. But all of them become selfish reasons if we're not careful. Yeah. Sometimes we pray selfish prayers. We've all done it. We've all been guilty of it. In praying for someone who's sick and going on to be with the Lord, and we want them to stay with us. That's a natural thing. But in that, we have to pray for God's will. For it's His will, not ours, that has to be done. None of these wills compare to the glory of the other world. And if that person could speak to you at that time, they'd say, get out of here, quit praying for me, and leave me alone. I'm going to heaven. Torn between the two worlds, they would rather be in glory. A world particularly designed for us. How do we know that? Well, John tells it to us in the scripture. When Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. For I have gone to prepare a place for you. So you are seated spiritually in the place that He has gone to prepare for you. Waiting now to be entered in a glorified body, as the Word tells us. And we said it a while ago that our eyes have not seen. Even though we try to visualize heaven, you can't. Because you can't imagine, you can't visualize heaven, what it looks like. We are told what it's going to be like, and we like to envision that, and that's great to have that desire to be in that place where streets are made of gold, and gates of pearl. Rivers of life, beautiful place that the Word explains to us. But we're so used to the muddy Mermentau, it's hard for us to imagine rivers flowing like that. So here's the sad message for those who would only desire the things of this world. Mark 8 and 36 says this, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.